to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two anxious counselors who like to talk about deeply disturbing things.
Dive in.
Yay. In person today.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yes, I'm glad you're in person.
I just spent an hour in traffic because of a rollover. What is that? Are you playing that?
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Oh, that's... Did you even play the reunited part?
No, because I didn't care that.
You expected me to know the verse.
I love that song. Just while you were saying the introduction, I pulled the song up on the
Spotify. It just sounded like really eerie. It was the microphone.
It was not queued up at all.
No.
This is why we need a production team. Because left to our own devices, that's what happened.
It could have been.
Naomi plays a random part of a random song and Macy has no idea what's going on.
I was really confused. And you were like waiting for me to get it, and I was waiting for that.
Aww.
And then you backed out and bailed because it.
Didn't. I realized it went badly.
Okay. Good attempt.
Thanks.
It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
Thank you for chocolate.
Yes, we're great. Having chocolate and wine and yes. Playing reunited. This is like a date.
That's what romantic. I ate. We're having date night.
And this is one of those box of chocolates without a map. So it's all chance. And of course, I pick a cream one two times in a row.
I got the crispy
one. FML. Look at that. I can't even eat it.
Why
it's
do they even
gross.
Make that? It's like the one, like the, like they're like red filling with, it's like the toffee.
I need to try again.
You're really going to be brave? Which one are you going to get? Go ahead, try.
I think I probably ate all the creams. So
or you're going to get a
I'm going to go
stupid
for this,
fudge.
This one.
It kind of looks like a caramel formation, perhaps.
I'm hoping there's caramel.
If it's cream, I'm going to crack up.
Look how it's fucking cream again.
That's the pink cream I was talking about.
No, this one's pink cream too. Two in a row.
Ew.
I can't eat it. All right. Well, you know, bad luck comes in
okay,
threes.
Okay, so wait. Let me get one.
Three bads.
Let me get one. Obviously, the peanut's a cheat. You know, that's a peanut. I will try one. I'm gonna go for the square.
It does not look cream.
Caramel.
Lucky bitch.
That's so good.
That's what I wanted.
Well, you tuck in now so I can eat my caramel.
Well, I have two partially eaten creams.
Is that your whole check-in?
No. Let me consult my phone.
All right.
Let me see what I've got.
You know what also is good on date night? My dad. So he's going to be part of my topic today.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Facebook has changed its name to Meta.
Wait, what?
Meta.
That's stupid. Like, for real?
For real.
Forever.
As soon as I saw that, I like instantly went to my Facebook app to see, but it looks the same. So maybe it's like a January 1st. Launched it or something.
No one's gonna like that.
I think the name is dumb.
We're creatures of habit.
Well, in Meta, it's so pompous, you know. We're everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know they want to be everything, but they're not my everything.
I liked it back when it was just for like college students.
What else do I got? After 25 years, the penis plant bloomed. Thank goodness.
I don't know what that means. I don't know if you're talking about your relationship.
It's a plant that resembles a phallus and apparently smells like rotting flesh.
Ew. So it's like a rotting penis. But it bloomed.
That's what I got.
Cool.
And I'm sticking to it.
I just had road rage for an hour. So that's really all that's
in
my head
stuck
right
in
now.
Traffic.
It was that kind where like, you barely move and then the car in front of you lets like five people in. You're like, we're never gonna
that's
get
against
anywhere
the rules.
It's so against the rules.
Here's the rule: if you are at a complete stop, you may let one person in front of you
and then zipper,
and then
zipper.
You have to go.
Yes. And if you want to be over there, then you have to be forceful enough to insert yourself in there. So like, if you insert yourself in there, I'm not even going to be mad about it. Like, you got balls. Good job. But if it's like, oh, graciously. Yes. Oh, you too. Yes, sure.
No. That's not allowed. Because if I miss the light, because you're letting a bunch of motherfuckers in.
Supposed to be a 15-minute drive. It took me an hour. And then it's like everyone's like, get off. I was listening to the radio. Get off of the freeway. It's going to take you longer.
No,
and then I get off
the freeway.
And then it was just stop, go. And then I had to insert myself to get off to the right.
Well, I was texting you secret directions.
I know.
Like, get off of that street.
I did the route that we usually skate.
That's the bad street.
So anyway, any thoughts I had prior to that moment are gone.
Oh, I've been dance skating a lot in my kitchen. It's been really fun.
That's great. I hope we get to do some of that tomorrow.
Tomorrow. We're sweet. Doing it.
Cool.
It's a plan.
So I get to go first.
All right.
And I'm diving in a little quick because it's my papa's bedtime in Oklahoma and I have to call him. I'm going to call him right now.
Papa, don't preach. This is exciting.
Is it?
We haven't had a guest for a long time.
Hi, Dad. You are a speaker on the podcast.
Yay.
Yay. You sound like it's 2 hours later in Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's been a busy day.
Busy Hi, day. Macy's dad.
Just the thing.
Oh, I just said hello. Oh, I'm speaking in my microphone can hear me.
You're yelling into the microphone. Sorry. He's over here.
Hi, Macy's dad.
Hello.
So I asked for you to be my guest today because my topic is about the most dangerous job in the U.S. Do you know what it is?
Suspense. Window cleaning?
No. Oh. Although you would think that would be the case. No, it is the lumber industry, loggers.
Logging. It's
the most dangerous job. And it's been continuously the most dangerous job for years. So, well, many, many, like, decades now. So the reason why I have my dad on the phone is because he did some of that stuff in the past.
You were a logger?
Only as a baby.
Oh, baby logger.
Baby logger. So yeah. Before
it's an IPA.
Yeah. I see what you did there. That was good.
That was good.
That was funny. Hard day, but you're still on top of it. So...
Not on top of anything, actually, but I'm here.
So why don't you just start by telling us your background in logging and share that scary shit with us. And then I'll go into the, facts and figures.
I can tell my story. Then you'll go into the facts.
I'm basically letting you off the hook as soon as you're done. So you can go back to your.
She doesn't want to lead the witness.
Yeah, this is about your true experiences without being tainted by the internet.
Don't be tainted.
It's not quite as fun as the prison career, but it was close. But I didn't have too many near death experiences.
How old were you?
My stepdad was a logger, so I automatically was a logger's helper from the age of probably about 11, 12-ish.
You're just a little guy.
Baby logger.
He had such great floofy hair back then.
Oh.
Yeah. Was that in the 70s?
The three I have left are still floofy.
You got a good little front wave going. So I did read that in my research that it's harder nowadays to find younger people because it was such a generational, like the kids did it because their parents did it. And now it's not so much that because there's, safer options. And back.
I did it for an allowance.
You got paid money and you were told of no other options.
Right, pretty much. And it was started out to help. And then it turned, as I got a little older, into giving a 14-year-old a chainsaw almost as big as he is. And it evolved.
That sounds safe. Chainsaws terrify me.
Same.
I mean, they tried to get me to set chokers, which I don't know if you know what that is.
Can you explain? Because I guarantee you most of the people on this podcast were not loggers.
I certainly don't know what a choker is in this context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do go on.
It's just a word for when they cut down trees and on a mountainside, it's just what they... It's a hasp and ball type of thing that you wrap around the tree. You go limb the tree, wrap the choker around it on a huge metal cable or cable, and then the big machine rolls the cable up, pulls the log up into the landing.
Chokes it. Got it. And that's what drags it.
Yeah, except why I would never want to be one. They tried to make me one, is that you go down cliffs, and when I say mountainsides, I mean mountains and things.
That's what I saw, because there's that show called Axemen, where they like follow around lumber crews, and a bundle of them are in like Oregon and Washington. And they said that their like machinery can't be on the sides because of how steep it is. And so it's really dangerous.
So basically you have to climb down like a monkey on the side of the hill, and they'll throw you the choker, which means they release the big, I don't know, 20, 30 pound ball of steel on the end of the cable, and it flies down. And I've had it hit next to me at about 100 miles an hour, and then put a 6-inch freaking hole in a tree next to me that would have killed, would have went right through me, wouldn't have noticed me.
I do know the ripping chains are dangerous. I've experienced that, like pulling cars, like towing cars, and if the tow chain snaps, like that's a bitch.
Yeah, there's been a lot of loggers who have lost their upper or lower halves of their body when they pull in these kind of things, and the cable will actually snap and whiplash like that.
So it's definitely a dangerous job.
Well, and I saw too, like they're always talking about like the tree. So if you're cutting a tree, like it could snap back or something. I don't know. There was some kind of wording for that.
Yeah, and a faller. I did very little of that actually, because that's really stupid.
Let's say falling. Yeah, those people. They're really on the at risk list. Why are you leaning?
I don't know where to talk. I don't know. Do I talk to
you? Talking to the microphone, and I'll bring him to you.
Okay, bring him to me. How confident are you when a tree's going to fall that you know which direction it's going to fall?
I am 100% sure where it will fall every time I cut a tree.
Ah, that's good.
Really?
That is, I will guarantee you it is going to fall to the ground.
Jokes. Follow up question. Do you say timber?
I've cut down trees that have gone exactly opposite of the direction I was trying to get up.
That's not good.
How do you know where to stand?
A lot of that is it'll bounce and ricochet off this tree, and all of a sudden it hits and pushes it into another tree, and all of a sudden you see it going around in a circle, and then it comes back at you, kind of a thing.
And that's what I saw in like the Axemen show. And to be fair, they do dramatize it, however, it's still really dangerous, but you'll see like where they're trying to get it to go, and then all of a sudden this branch over here, it got snagged on, and then all of a sudden snapped that tree, and then it twisted it around, and you see them running because their whole plan just went out the window.
Will you ask him my follow-up question?
No, you ask your own follow-up question.
Do you actually say timber in the biz?
I never did. No, but I never was. That wasn't ever my job. I had to clean up some random things here and there, but not where I was around a crew. Usually I was just trying to kill my own family at that point. But
in the forest?
Wait, what?
Well,
you did take a little bit of a tangent there.
Remember, Macy lives on the property there. I was all cleared by me.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. Are 10 acres in Snohomish? You cleared?
Five acres.
Huh. Good job. Well done.
But anyways, the later on, then it became, we did have, I was what they called a, what was it? What did they call it? I don't remember. But we cut cedar blocks. Oh, a cedar rat. Shake rat. That's what it was. A shake rat.
Shake rat.
Where that's when you take your saw on your shoulder, and the blade goes down to your leg, basically, and you take oil and gas on a rope and throw it over your neck, and then climb a mountain, and you cut cedar, old cedar that had been already cut, and you cut it into blocks, and you...
Those are a lot of things.
It sounds really dangerous.
A lot of all extreme of things at once.
For an 11-year-old.
You stack up the block in about a half a cord size sling, basically a big rope, and then the fun part of that, you do that for like 2 weeks and you're on, oh, let's go way over there. And there's one, you know, we a piece of tree we can cut up. And then over here, and you're up, all climbing up the mountain where no one else can get. And so then they would bring in the helicopter and you'd have to go out up there and hook the slings to the helicopter cable as it was flying, hovering above you.
So that was one thing I saw on Axemen. Because apparently like 5 people from that show since I started watching it are dead. Oh, and not all of them are related, but there were, I think, 2 or 3. But one of them was the helicopter guy who had like tons of years of experience, but he ended up somehow crashing while trying to pick up a load. He died. Scary.
Yeah, that can happen. But we also did things like
that can happen.
Riding the hook. You rode the hook.
Wait, no. Is that like grabbing onto the back of a pickup truck for a little ride?
No, that okay. is when you're they pick up a sling and you can't get to your next one fast before they get back, because all they do is move down and swing this. They're really good. Swing the thing and drop the blocks on the loading dock and shoot right back up, and you're scrambling to get to 100 yards away straight up a cliff. So they'll tell you to just wait there, and they come back and they drop their hook and you're supposed to step in it and grab the cable, and they'll fly you to the next.
Wait a minute. I need you to say that one more time.
Visually,
that was horrifying. Extreme. Wait, are you okay? Say it one more time for me.
Riding the hook is when the helicopter's cable that you hook, normally hook to the sling of blocks to take it to the landing. They bring it back for you to step on and hang on to the cable and fly you to the next.
So like you put your foot in it, standing up, and you're holding on,
and then you're being swung through the forest.
That is exactly what I thought of, like a pickup truck jumping onto the back.
Yeah. I mean, it's usually a clear cut area, so there's not like tons of trees around.
You're not Tarzan. Yeah.
But still, I mean, there's no safety harness involved. There's no net.
This isn't probably something OSHA would have approved.
This was back in the,
OSHA didn't exist back then.
And the only thing they don't tell you about it while you're doing it is the fact that there's electricity running to the cable that releases it from the hook. So you're actually getting shocked the whole time while you're riding the hook.
Oh, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, I did it. And you learn how to get really fast going to the next place, so you didn't have to ride the hook to the next one.
So, but you basically just got electrocuted as a quick ride if you weren't fast enough as punishment.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I have some questions.
Okay.
Did you yourself, or did you ever witness any loggers, running or dancing on logs in the water as they spun?
No, not personally. No, I'm not from Wisconsin.
Is that a thing? Wait.
Why are we calling out our Wisconsin brothers? What's going on here?
Our Wisconsin listeners are going to be like, hey, we, like that.
No, they say, yeah, we do that in Wisconsin. That's our national sport.
Is it?
I feel like we're going to get some comments.
We're going to get an email.
My logs are on a mountainside, so I don't know of any lakes or ponds on the side of the cliff to do that.
That's after they were dropped by accident and land in Wisconsin.
Remember, this is the Cascades. We're in real mountains here, not
real mountains.
What some states call mountains, which
are you a mountain elitist?
I hear some elitist talk there.
Yes.
Actually, that's
yes, I am.
There, from what I read, actually, like Washington, Oregon, and there's one other place I can't remember, but Canada, there's some regions too, are like the primo spots for forestry.
Yeah, because you have real trees there, like cedar and fir and different big trees, not lodgepole pine and scrub oak and whatever else they have in cross country.
What's your feeling about cottonwood? Be real.
Oh, bad. No.
It's a bad feeling.
I thought so.
It's a no. Whatever your question is about it, it's a no.
is that
it rots really fast.
I thought you might say that.
you just didn't buy a Cottonwood home, did you?
No. But every time I used to drive from Spokane to Portland, I would admire those long rows of cottonwood groves there that are for farming, cottonwood farm.
You mean down by the river?
Down by the river. And I would often stop and take some photos and go in there illegally because it's super cool. But weirdly, last time I drove through, the whole thing's gone. So I don't know what happened. And it was like 100 billion acres worth of this.
Could have harvested. They were using that for, I can't remember what, for a specific purpose, why they were planted.
It was real neat to go in there. It was real neat.
Real illegal.
real neat.
So what else you got? I mean, that's all.
I only have kind of one other story later on when I was like 21, maybe 22, somewhere in there. That's when I went to Eastern Washington with said stepfather to start a post and rail fencing company. And I don't know. I'm sure everybody but your Wisconsin listener doesn't know what I'm talking about, but a post and rail peeler is the machine that takes the bark off of the posts so they're nice and clean when you make post and rail fences. So, well, my job turned out to be this machine. If you're putting there are 6 or 8 foot posts that are 6 to 8 inches.
How long are they?
6 to 8 feet.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you said inches. I was having flashbacks of that.
They're 6 to 8 inches through on the end.
Oh, you know that Looney Tunes? You know that Looney Tunes episode where they like take the tree and they whittle it down to a toothpick? I was like having images of that.
Well, let me finish my story. You'll have another image like that.
Okay.
Cottonwood. Anyway, that's your new nickname, by the way, Cottonwood.
Cottonwood.
anyways, so what happens if, unless that stick of tree is perfectly straight and the same size on each end, the peeler will want to spin it and it starts wobbling wildly on the other end and it sharpens it down into basically a pencil and you could put the whole thing through and it would just disappear at the end, you know, into a toothpick.
It's so just my like job that. Was
to take the big end underneath my armpit and hold it like I'm putting a headlock on it. And as he started the machine and spinning it, when it started to swing it violently around, my job was to try to keep it straight so it would go through the peeler and peel the bark off instead of sharpening it like a pencil.
Shit.
So you just like throw your body on it?
Oh, it was horrifying because if anybody watched, I mean, I actually at times went around with the pole being whooped around. And I mean, I was black and blue from my hip to my wrist every day.
Wow.
So I didn't do that very long.
Yeah, I don't know why young people don't want to enter this field anymore.
And wrestle trees. Wrestle trees.
Wrestle.
Tree ranching.
Yeah, I have to say, like, and this has to do more with the driving on the switchbacks. I have like one anxiety dream that has stayed with me. And I think it's from when you told me about a time when you had no brakes or like the brakes went out when you were going down the switchbacks.
Well, I mean, I tell you, it's very dangerous. Those log trucks do not care. And those switchbacks back and forth, you can't see around the corners and they just go full bore out of fully loaded and you're going to go off or get hit. One of the, you know, that's your choice. And we've got pushed off the road multiple times, but never on a cliff time. Mm. But the story about the brakes going out was when I took my friend up there and he wasn't used to working hard very often. So at the end of the day, we're coming down the hill.
Does that mean he didn't know what he got roped into? he probably thought you guys were going to hang out.
Let's just say he was exhausted. So he was sitting in the middle of the cab of the truck we're in a big flatbed truck, and Granny Gear just down this real steep switchback. And my stepdad noticed, and he goes, my friend was asleep. His eyes were shut. You never freaking sleep, because bad things happen to you when other people are awake and you're asleep.
I never sleep.
That's a good general rule.
I never sleep for that reason.
Never sleep.
He motioned to me that he's asleep, and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, open the door and get out.
Oh, shit.
So I quiet, and we're going like 2 miles an hour. And I open the door and get out on the running board and leave the door open and slide where he couldn't see me. And all of a sudden, my dad started, or stepdad started yelling, we lost our brakes, we're brakes, we're going to crash, Kevin, we're going to yell. And my friend panicked, and he jumped out of the truck into the side of the road, into the ditch, as we laughed and drove past him doing 2 miles an hour.
And now I have stress anxiety dreams about a car with no brakes going down a mountainside. That's my go-to.
I lost my brakes before when I was driving down the hill.
Did you?
A story for another day.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also messed with the same guy because when you're cutting
friend
cedar a lot, you get a lot of newts, big, colorful newts. Every once in a while,
you mean like lizards?
No, a newt.
Yeah.
Aren't they lizards?
Are you not from Washington? Oh, wait, California. That's why.
But they're lizards, right?
It's in,
well, they're like a different, gooey wet lizards.
Yeah, they're like wet
gooey lizards.
Yeah, I know they are.
Very lethargic, very non-moving or caring about anything, basically. And very docile and not harmful at all. And
probably more like a gecko.
I'm a friend of the lizard.
We got a he was up, this was during the shake rat thing. He was game of change. What was that?
I've just felt like I had to clarify that I'm a friend of the lizard.
Oh, well, so are we. Because we could mess with people because of them, because my friend had never been really up the woods that much. And so I said, everything will be fine. And I showed him how to cut wood and the chainsaw. I mean, he at least had a 3 or 4 minute tutorial to learn. And I kept saying, don't worry about this. And if the chain is loose and it comes back, don't keep your face over the saw where the chain will kick off and come back and cut your skull. So, you know,
yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. And all this. And I said, the only thing you really got to worry about is a cedar lizard. And he's like, why? What's that? I said, oh, they're the weirdest looking lizards, and they're poisonous, and they like they'll jump and bite. And I kept telling him that, but I, you know, it was like days later, all of a sudden he was over, you know, 20 yards away from me doing cutting or something. And all of a sudden I heard a scream. And he comes running past. He threw his saw on the ground. Cedar lizard, cedar lizard, get out of the way. It was just a big old orange newt.
Oh, that's so mean, but so funny.
I don't know if I would have liked to have been your friend. It's a lot of forced labor in that friendship.
Well, you just see, the thing is, I learned that I had to go through all this stuff when I first started with strangers that I didn't know that were 45, 50 years old when I was 12. So
you hazed him.
You were paying it forward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Learning how to be a man.
Oh.
Or something like that.
Maybe another reason why not so many people want to do this dude anymore.
That's another reason why I'm, you know, alone.
Because you learned to be a man so hard.
So hard.
So hard.
Well,
and just as a footnote, I went from that job and I quit at the post and rail fencing mill, getting spun around with a bruised armpit all the time, directly within like 10 days of that, to start working at the prison
for the next almost 20 years of your life.
Yes, and it just seemed like a good job compared to the logging thing that I started.
Wow, that says something.
That's some context. Yeah. And yeah, that fits right in why I picked this as, I mean, I didn't pick it. It just is dangerous. Well, thank you for sharing your stories with us.
No, we love your stories.
You're not alone, even in Oklahoma.
Never alone.
He's coming back this week, coming week.
Oh, yeah. Coming back to the PN dub.
Yep.
Yep, 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 yep.
Nice.
All right, thank you. I'll okay, talk you. To you later. Have a good night.
Bye, Mrs. Dad. Oh, you just cut him off. That's so mean.
That's okay. He knows I love
him. I just choked down that chocolate that I didn't really like.
I know. I watched you grab it and you got one of the nasty fudges. It's the cream or the fudge.
It's not even a fudge. I think it's like a deep, dark truffle.
Yeah, but it's obviously not like truffle.
It's obviously not good.
Yeah, because you were wincing as you forced
yourself. I felt like I had to eat it, though.
I like that you continued to eat that versus the cream ones.
Well, it was better than the cream ones.
Try it. Go ahead. Give yourself a shot of another one. Well, I'm going to keep eating this caramel one. Mm. Okay. Oh, yeah. No, sorry. Let me continue with my topic.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you do that?
Hold on. I can't use my fingerprint reader because I have chocolate on my hands.
But we are doing a podcast right now.
Okay. So, logging. He put a lot of the context there, so I'm not going to go over, a lot of it, but... there's a lot of TV shows about this now, like Axemen, Swamp Loggers, American Loggers, Heli Loggers, which have put more focus on how dangerous the jobs are since they're so remote. People don't typically understand what it takes.
I have not been watching any logger reality shows, I have to admit.
Really? They're fairly like, they're already dangerous. And then they try to amplify that through different shots and trying to get things.
Pull the drama.
But on occasion, there's moments where you're like, wow, I watched you almost die.
Well, that thing, like riding on that hook, like just hopping on the hook
so
and
unsafe.
Holding on and being like flown through the forest. Like that does not seem safe.
So there was a big survey data done from 2006 to 2015. This was kind of the biggest chunk that was done. There was 8,380 non-fatal injuries in the private industry from logging. So that's not really what we're going to focus on, because the biggest data is actually for fatal injuries. So there's been in that time frame, 2006 to 2015, and actually the data from 2016 to 2020 was another 320 something deaths. Mm. So in this time frame, there's 655 fatal occupational injuries to logging workers.
That is a lot.
Yes. In 2015, there were approximately 51,000 employed loggers who were comprised of fallers. Those are the ones that my dad was talking about, that he would never do that job. People doing the equipment operating, log graders, scalers, and other miscellaneous jobs. So there's actually like relatively few amount of people doing this work. So the death rates are actually very high compared to how many people are doing it. So this has one of the highest fatal injury rates of any occupation. And this is since 2006. So the rate of fatal injury in 2015 was 132.7, which is more than 30 times all worker rates of any other worker class.
Damn.
So 30 times the amount. And from 2006 to 2015, an average of 66 loggers die each year.
So this is more than ice road trucking.
Yes. I think the number two tends to be the fishing. Like the, what is that called?
Oh,
like the,
we're on the fishing boats.
Yeah.
I like did used really, to watch a fishing like boat reality stuff. Show and I did used to watch ice road truckers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's dangerous too, but I think the biggest thing is with the amount of people doing it, mm-hmm. There's just more. So here there's less people, but far more people dying.
Well, do you think bringing attention to it is going to like make it more safe?
So I actually did read an article where, throwing things, where someone was someone from the show who filmed it said they had never seen an OSHA worker in their entire like 25 year career. And then once it aired, all of a sudden they'd get OSHA showing up once a year. So which they were upset about, like, well, why now? Must be because of TV.
This is why the price of lumber, it's gone up. The dots are connected.
Yeah. So I think it's put attention on it. And whether that's you know, because they're seeing things that like, ooh, that doesn't mm-hmm. look compliant. Or they're, I mean, OSHA's response was, we've done it the same way we've always done it, but
you can't ride skyhooks.
Yeah, you can't, wait, you don't do that. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So the white workers and men accounted for most of the fatalities across the demographics. The age of those who were fatally injured is also similar to the age of most logging workers, 45 to 54 years old. So that's kind of like what my dad was talking about. Like he's in there learning and everybody's so much older than him. So 45 to 54 year olds incurred 26% of the fatalities and represented 29% of the employment. Mm-hmm. Of the 655 logging workers that died, almost 40% were self-employed. So a lot of this is that they're going out self-employed into the middle of a remote area mm-hmm. and sustain injuries and are far away from help.
Yeah.
So bigger companies may have more resources, more safety, I don't know, protocols, things like that.
But if you want to be your own person and make your own money, then you're going to be more risky. Because you're
potentially,
by yourself.
Yeah, and maybe yeah. trying to go to those areas that are harder to get to, more remote, right. harder to log. Because
mm-hmm. there's the potential to make more money.
Yeah.
But you don't have help.
Yeah.
If you get hurt. That's why I live within 5 minutes of the hospital.
It is nice. That's what when I bought my house, I was like, ooh, look, there's a fire station, like right around the corner, just in case my house catches fire.
No, I have a little bit of the neurotic in me. Like I get anxiety just by being away from a hospital.
So some people would think that this is kind of seasonal work, but it does go year round. There's only just like a little increase during the summer months compared to the other months, but it still was, still fairly like quite a bit of deaths, regardless. If you look at this map here, Washington is one of the higher fatal work states for loggers. Wow. Again, because we have good logging here, so there's probably more concentration. More. Same thing with Oregon.
Are one of those dark states Wisconsin? I mean, I know we suck at geography, but...
There's Wisconsin. No.
That wasn't...
2.6%.
Oh, no, that's Wisconsin. That's Wisconsin. It looks a lot like Michigan.
It labels it. Yeah, we're at 5.65% in Washington. Wisconsin is 2.6. Oregon's at 7.94%.
Oh, Oregon.
Yeah, so Oregon's pretty high. New York, Pennsylvania is pretty high, as well as Virginia and Tennessee and Kentucky.
But Washington's the highest. Oh, no, Oregon's the highest.
Oregon's the highest, and then Washington.
Wow, Oregon almost 8%.
Yeah. So you would think that this would hurt people, which it does.
it does hurt people. Or kills people.
So most of the, it was over 60% of the deaths are head injury by an object. Mm. So that's either a log or one of the cables he was talking about or some flying debris hitting somebody in the head.
If you get hit by a log, which is a tree,
getting hit by like a tree,
that's a lot.
Yes. So
that's not, I mean, I think when you say log in my mind, it's like,
no, it's little, like a tree.
But when I think, oh, you're getting hit by like a giant tree.
Well, and if you keep in mind too,
a semi truck,
like it's like picture a ski slope. They're working on a ski slope. And something that may be even the size of a baseball coming down from that level of elevation at your head is still going to kill you.
Yes.
So basically the rule is don't get hit by anything or you will die. Seems to be the,
I like how it works. Having rules like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And
black
then
and white, don't get hit by anything or you'll die.
Period. Yeah. Yeah. And most of the other ones involved like the operation of machinery, something happening with that, or even accidents with the trucks, but vast majority were being hit by an object and or tree.
God, that's just a brutal way to go.
Yeah. And to have like 66 people a year in the US die from mostly being hit in the head with something at their job. And that's what freaked me out is as I was looking this up, I was like, oh yeah, I saw that show. So I looked into it and then I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that face and that face. Oh, they're dead now.
Oh shit.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's like the reality.
Wow.
The reality of it is that, you know, for entertainment purposes, it's really great to like watch someone do something dangerous because you're not actually doing it. But he died like 3 years later because that's his life, not just the 20 minutes you watched on TV. Mm. So yeah, so that's it. I just wanted to shine a little light on the dangers of logging.
Well, I think it makes me appreciate when I'm at the Home Depot buying some lumber that maybe somebody risked their life for that.
Well, and I think that, I mean, honestly, they did. I mean, the people who did the logging part.
Have you ever operated a chainsaw?
No, I let other people do that for me.
Yeah, I've never done it either. I've operated a sawzall.
My dad knows better than to give that to me.
And I had mostly good luck with the sawzall, but I did get it stuck in a tree once up high when I was on a ladder and I had to.
Most sawzalls are for
shamefully metal. Leave it stuck in the tree, climb down the ladder in front of people, like across the street, and like walk away.
You should be ashamed.
It was very shameful.
Mm-hmm. Most sawzall, I mean, you have to buy specific ones for wood, which is probably why I got stuck.
Yeah. I feel like the sawzall, it was kind of like a saw gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've kind of felt like like a saw Tommy gun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then stuck like this. I was like up on a ladder like this.
We're
like,
gonna fall on up. You. Yeah, my mom
it wasn't good.
My mom was trying to do something on the roof of her house with she had like one of those circular saws.
And
she
was
up on a ladder with the circular saw. Fell and it cut into her arm and she had to get taken to the hospital.
Oh my god, it could lose her arm.
She could lose her head. Very dangerous. Yeah.
Power tools, you gotta be safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I just realized our topics are sort of linked.
Are they? When aren't they really?
Because mine is also related to like an occupational hazard.
Ooh, okay. Before we do that, we should see what candy we get. You ready?
Okay.
You get to pick first.
You pick first.
I picked first both times and have gotten good ones and you didn't three times. And
I'm attracted to that square. I feel like it's not going to be a cream.
It looks like a caramel probably.
Okay. I'm going for that one.
Okay.
Because I haven't got a caramel yet. I've got three creams and then I got a weird dark truffly thing.
My tongue still
feels bitter from it.
Okay. I'm nervous because all of these kind of look creamy.
Oh, caramel. Yes.
I'm going to just hell no this one off the bat.
Caramel for the win.
Good job. That is a pink cream. I saw it come out the bottom. I'm not taking it.
You peeked.
I lifted it. Look, it's leaking out the bottom. Okay. I'm going to try this, which obviously is a chocolate fudge. What happened to it?
Why is the chocolate not on it anymore?
Yes.
I'm happy with my choice, finally. Choice five.
This one's actually a milk chocolate fudge.
Yum.
No, this one's actually not bad. Okay, sorry. Everyone is hearing us eat.
Well, you know, that's our podcast. There was something I was going to ask your dad, and then I decided not to. Because I felt like it was opening up a can of worms.
Probably.
I wanted to ask him, okay, I have a relative, will be unnamed, but back in the day, he was part of an eco-terrorist group in the Pacific Northwest, mm-hmm. like back in like the 80s, like early 80s, 70s, called Earth First. And they did not like people logging and would spike trees. And so I wanted to ask your dad, like, what do you know about that?
Like put spikes in the trees?
Yeah. And it would do something, wow. I think, to the loggers. I don't know exactly what, but
oh, that's messed
it
up.
It was something dangerous, but it was to protect the trees. So
I do,
it's kind of like looking at it from the other point of view.
Yeah. I kind of view that, though, as like the people that put out the spikes for the birds so the birds can't land.
People do that?
Yeah. I mean, they put the all in Spokane. There's places where they have like the little spikies. It's either that or
for skateboarders
or homeless people.
No,
right?
It's for skateboarders.
So they put spikes so children will fall on them. They're
people
like
hate skateboarders. Skateboarding is not a crime.
It's not. So all of the, I know that all of the shows that the logging stuff is in are all second growth. So their kind of point being that they are replanted and then grown and then harvested.
Yeah, I think if it's a crop forest, that's different. I think at these times they were logging old growth stuff. I mean, you know, Mount Spokane, I learned when I went on a guided snowshoe tour. I learned that
I remember when you went on
the tour. I learned that all the original white pines were fucking logged, and there's only one up there. And like everyone walks by and like touches it. And I'm like, maybe we should limit that. Like
stop touching with your greasy hands.
Yeah, let's not honor it with your gross germs. But I think that my relative, unnamed relative, was more invested in protecting those types of forests.
Yeah.
Than, you know, like the cottonwood forest that we discussed tonight, which is a different story. Okay. This is topical topic. Don't look at my computer.
I didn't. I glanced over it to you. I did not look. I can't see it. I'm not looking at it.
Fucking looking.
I'm not looking at it.
Okay.
Don't talk about me like I'm not here.
I'm talking to my peeps. I finally got a good chocolate, by the way. This one's good.
We've been here.
This is a topical topic. I'm going to talk about...
Are you drunk?
I'm probably drunk.
You're repeating yourself.
A third of can of wine.
That's him. Half.
Prop gun killings.
That is topical.
It's very topical.
And related to occupation.
Yes. So on October 21st, which is a week ago, actor Alex Baldwin fired what he told was a cold gun on the Santa Fe set of the movie Rust. So it's like a Wild West movie set. This is supposed to mean that the gun is empty, which would be appropriate for a rehearsal situation. But when he fired the prop gun, he killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins, and the director of the movie, Joel Souza, was also injured during the incident. So Helena Hutchins, age 42, was a rising star in the world of cinematography and is survived by her husband and 9-year-old son. And that's her.
Oh,
picture.
Would you like me to look at it?
Now look.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now you can look.
Thank you. I'll look away now.
Okay.
Is that chocolate smeared across my phone?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So this is still an active and ongoing investigation, but here's what we know so far as of today.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I heard it in the news. Like the as it happened first part, and then I haven't really heard any updates, so
I will update you.
Update.
So earlier in the day in question, several members of the camera crew had actually walked off the set after filing complaints about the work conditions. So among the complaints was that they had to drive 50 miles to and from the set each day, so that they were already tired when they got to work. So this is the camera crew. This is Helena Hutchins' crew.
Okay.
So it's relevant. I also learned that the same gun that was involved in the shooting had been used for target practice by the crew.
What?
Yep. So they're out there in this like Santa Fe open space. Putting bullets in the gun and shooting at stuff, probably on a coffee break or something.
Oh.
I mean, I saw the overhead aerial shots of the set. Like, it's in the middle of nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could get away with that. The same gun had also accidentally discharged at least two times. One report I read said three times previously during a rehearsal in a cabin.
What?
And the camera operator complained to the production manager in a text and said, quote, "This is super unsafe," unquote.
Yeah, guns should not accidentally discharge.
No.
Did I tell you about the time that happened to me?
No.
No?
Tell.
So
I'll take a bite of chocolate and you talk.
A certain someone that I was living with at the time had gotten a gun from a friend, or bought it from a friend. And I was sitting at the kitchen table doing my homework, headphones in, listening to classical music, oblivious of the dangers. And then all of a sudden I hear like a loud bang.
Oh, shit.
And I was really confused. The dogs were barking. I'm like, what? And I took it out and I kind of wandered around in a daze. Like, what was that? And I go into the bedroom and said person sitting there. He goes, what? I'm like, what do you mean? What? What was that? And then he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, okay. And I got confused and I was like, maybe a car drove by and there was like a backfire, something like that. And I start to walk away. And then I look as I'm leaving at the wall and there's a hole through the wall directly. I'm on the other side of the kitchen table.
What the fuck?
And I'm like, what is that? I don't know. What do you mean? And I go down there and I look and there's a bullet wedged into the wood board behind the wall.
Killed.
If it didn't get lodged there, it would have gone in at least.
Oh my God, that's
gone in my terrifying area. I know.
I don't want it to have gone in your area.
No.
So it just went off on its own, or
there was some stages of lying that happened.
Oh, okay. That's a whole story.
Oh, the gun is broken. It misfired. Oh, at first it was, oh no, it was a blank. And then I got down my hands and knees. I'm like, no, that's definitely so. Yeah. Definitely a mishandling of a firearm in a house.
Fucking terrifying.
Right.
I'm terrified of guns. That's why I do not have one, because if you're going to have a gun, you need to be very comfortable, very confident.
The odds of dying by a gun go up much, much steeper when you own one.
No, I've like handled a gun three times in my life. And every time I was like a fucking nervous wreck the whole time.
And just, so, you know, there's going to be someone that jumps on there. Like if you like having a gun, great.
No, that's great.
I own a gun. It's in a safe and I haven't touched it in 10 years. And that's totally okay with me.
No, if I was comfortable, confident, probably if I would have been raised in that culture,
yeah,
I would probably have one for protection or whatever.
If I didn't have someone living with me accidentally shoot one at the wall,
yeah,
I'd feel more comfortable too.
Yeah, I was not raised in that culture and I'm not familiar. And even though I was married for a long time to somebody who was raised in that culture, I didn't really get a ton of exposure. Oh my God, I just have a memory.
Oh, tell shit. Me your memory.
I'm going to out myself right now. This is tell like me. My half anti-vaxxer outing. Okay. When I was first dating my ex-husband, this is so bad. I'm going to say it though. I'm going to say it.
Do it. Why not?
We were living on the other side of the neighborhood and like, I'd only like seen a gun once in my life before that. Like, and that was when I was in junior high and I hadn't even touched it. I just saw one. So he had a 22 in his apartment. I don't think we were living together then. I think we're just barely dating. And I was drunk and I shot that gun in our backyard outside the neighborhood. What? And he got so mad.
I'm sure.
I didn't really understand like the repercussions.
Like it's dangerous.
Yeah. Cause it looked like a fake gun to me, like a BB gun.
Yeah.
And he's like, just shoot a gun in the backyard in the neighborhood.
Then you read more about guns.
Well, I think I sobered up and was like, yeah, that was dumb. But I was like 23. So,
I mean,
allowed to do dumb things.
But I think that's the thing is a lot of people nowadays aren't trained up on guns, maybe outside of some rural areas. And then they want one because they want to feel cool, but they don't actually know how to use it.
No, exactly.
Take some classes, people. You.
I'm going to walk back my statement. You are not allowed to do dumb things when you're young. Because sometimes those dumb things have...
I mean, you do dumb things.
Lifelong repercussions. Yeah.
You do dumb things, yes, and other people often pay for it. You don't get a pass. Yeah. That was one thing with the logging that I found, that a lot of the deaths weren't actually from themselves. It was by somebody else doing something wrong that killed somebody else.
Yes.
Right?
So, and that's tough when you're young, though, because you don't really have that cause and effect, like executive functioning.
Yeah.
You're like in the moment, especially involved alcohol. Mm-hmm. You know, and I probably thought I was being cute or whatever.
Yeah, you're like, giggled. I don't know.
I probably giggled.
I don't know what you look like giggling, but it would definitely be that.
I don't know if I was giggling.
You were like, we're almost dating. We're kind of dating.
I know. I was like, oh, I'm going to just pick up this gun and shoot
like
it.
Like Charlie Angel
out
moment.
The backyard in the Browns edition. That's so bad. That's
it so within bad. City limits.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. So that's my disclosure.
Disclosed. Yeah, you didn't do a diary today.
I didn't. I have it sitting right here. I was going to do it and I totally forgot again.
Okay. That's your diary moment.
That was my diary moment. That's right. So when this incident happened, Alex Baldwin was practicing drawing the revolver across his body and aiming it toward the camera. So it's like one of these, like, you know how you do that? In like a Western movie, how they're like pulling it and pointing it.
Which doesn't quite make, like, why wouldn't it be here?
It was closest. A cross body move for some reason.
Okay.
So it was a church scene and he was sitting in a pew when he was practicing this. So director Joel Souza was standing behind Helena Hutchins looking over her shoulder while she was watching the camera. So kind of watching like what this looked like. And then all of a sudden the director Souza heard what he said sounded like a whip and then a loud pop. And then all of a sudden Helena Hutchins began to like stumble backwards, grabbing her midsection. So she was assisted by the ground, like she was caught. And Hutchins said that she couldn't feel her legs. How fucking terrifying is that?
It's so sad.
So three crew members who worked alongside the assistant director of this movie, which is called Rust. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. The assistant director was named David Halls. So three crew members had worked alongside him on another movie where a gun had unexpectedly discharged in 2019. And they said assistant director Halls was fired from the project due to unsafe conditions. The three crew members recall details of the incident where they were filming Freedom's Path and said an 1800 style muzzle loading rifle unexpectedly fired during a scene and resulted in a boom operator suffering inner ear injuries because of the explosion, the sound of the explosion.
Yeah. I mean, it just sounds so irresponsible. Like if that's your job is to prepare those things, why would you let anybody shoot them ever? There should never be live rounds in it ever.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying. Like there should not be real guns and live rounds on a set. Like it has no place. But unfortunately, that's not the practice everywhere. So the same assistant director, while working on Hulu's Into the Dark anthology series, also in 2019, people said that he neglected to hold safety meetings and consistently failed to announce the presence of a firearm on set to the crew, which is the protocol. And so that's at least two concerns about the assistant director. And he's the one that handed the weapon and said cold gun to Alec Baldwin.
Which obviously he didn't check.
He did not. And that's what I'm about to say. So you have good.
Sorry.
Good ESP.
Makes me so angry.
Yeah. So on the set of this film in question, Dave Halls handed the weapon to Baldwin and said cold gun. So that means in lingo that it's safe to use. So during the investigation, Halls acknowledged to investigators that he did not check all the rounds loaded in the weapon prior to the shooting. And in interviews with Halls and the prop master, who they call him, an armorer, Gutierrez said that David advised when Hannah showed him the firearm before continuing rehearsal, he could only remember seeing three rounds. He advised he should have checked all of them, but he didn't and couldn't recall if she spun the drum. So Hannah Gutierrez is the,
I read,
called like prop master or armor. Yeah,
I saw something briefly about her saying about like lack of experience, but I think that's before all this other stuff came out too. I don't know. I just saw a headline. Gosh, yeah, that's just amazing to me. And he honestly, what else could he say? He couldn't say I saw the round in it or else it could be attempted murder.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. So the chief electrician for this movie said in a Facebook post that he held Hutchins in his arms while she was dying and blamed negligence and unprofessionalism for her death. Yeah. And just so shocking to just happen so unexpectedly, I thought. So yesterday, the Santa Fe County Sheriff confirmed that the gun discharged by Alex Baldwin fired a live round. Mm-hmm. So there had been speculation that it was a live round, but it was confirmed yesterday.
Okay.
And he said, the facts are clear. A weapon was handed to Mr. Baldwin. The weapon is functional and fired a live round, killing Ms. Hudgens and injuring Mr. Souza. And said that they had recovered a lead projectile and shell casing and approximately 500 rounds of ammunition, a combination of blanks, dummy, and live rounds from the set.
Why would you even have live rounds there? Not cool.
Questions. And so the sheriff believed the lead projectile that was fired from the gun was recovered from Sousa's shoulder. So God, does that mean it went through her stomach into his shoulder?
Yeah. Like she, like it, the, just the trajectory. Was behind her. Oh, he's behind her.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. It went through her stomach and then into his shoulder if they recovered it from the bullet from his shoulder.
Oh, from his shoulder. Got it. Okay.
I mean, that's quite a powerful.
And that means he was really close range for that to happen.
So evidence has been submitted to the FBI for processing. So this is still an active ongoing investigation. More information will be coming. Neil Zaromsky, who is a veteran prop master, like 20, 30 years in the field, had actually turned down the job of being the prop master for Rust because he said there was a series of red flags about the production. He'd originally been really interested because it was kind of a cool job, like it's Old West, so you'd be handling pistols and like rifles, wagons, saddles, all that to like make an 1880s scene. But after he spoke with production managers, he was concerned that he felt it was a slapdash production. And since I heard that word slapdash. I've used it like three times since
slapdash. So that's just like a quickly thrown together
I've used it in different contexts, like at least three times since I read that article.
Slapdash.
Because I think it's an underutilized word and it really says what you mean.
Yeah. Bunch of slapdash.
So he passed on the job and in like a horrible prophecy moment. He thought to himself, this is an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So Hannah Gutierrez Reed, as we mentioned, was the prop master, was 24 years old. I mean, I just talked about stupid shit I did when I was 23.
That's like, baby young.
Yeah. You're still a teenage brain.
Yeah, you're little.
She had only worked as head armor on one other production before Rust. And I read today that was a Nicolas Cage film and that he had yelled at her and walked off the set because a firearm was discharged without notifying anybody. And he was like, you're blowing out my eardrums, you know?
Yeah.
So
I see Nicolas Cage freaking out about that.
And she has said in interviews before this incident that she wasn't even sure about taking her first job because she wasn't sure she was ready. I guess her dad was a prop master though. So she was sort of raised with it.
So more about confidence and maybe just the like the know-how over the years, maybe not established.
Yeah. And I don't know who's on set enforcing protocols either.
That's like, probably her.
We don't want to like, I mean, I'm like, do we just, we can't just blame one person. I feel like a lot of factors were here.
What happens is they hire independent people to do different things and everybody's staying in their own lane. And then the only oversight is the person or the people doing that thing. And the other people are oblivious to what's going on.
And if it was like a slapdash production, as this
sounds pretty slapdash
person said, like maybe they are taking shortcuts. Maybe there isn't the oversight needed.
Mm-hmm. So do this. I know you probably, never mind.
Okay. Never mind.
Never mind.
So, according
my one can's feeling good now.
According to search warrants, you just sit back and enjoy. I'm in.
This is a great ride.
According to search
warrants, I feel like a cowboy.
Hannah Gutierrez had left three weapons on a rolling cart outside the church setting at midday on the day Hutchins was killed. Sousa told Santa Fe County Sheriff's Officer investigators that multiple people had been handling the guns and that he wasn't sure anyone had checked them for safety after the group came back from lunch.
Mm. So someone could have went and shot them.
We don't know. Like if they're doing target practice at lunch. I mean, how fucking dangerous is that?
The scariest thing I saw. So my dad lives way up north. So there's like these big gravel pits you can go and do shooting practice, which I've shot many guns there. It's pretty fun actually. But they, we left though, right as this dad got there with this kid. And he was holding, making this kid hold a pumpkin above his head.
What?
And shooting the pumpkin. No. I know. And like, he was hitting the pumpkin, but we were like, like this, this is scary. And if something happens, we don't want to see it. Sorry. Bye.
That is not worth the TikTok, people.
Probably not the best thing to do is just leave. But those are that guy is the type of person who, well, I've got guns, do something about it. I don't think
he's going to listen to reason.
No, no.
In fact, you might have become the target.
I might have been out there forced to hold a pumpkin up in my head.
You may have become the pumpkin. Oh, goodness. So the probe is focusing on who put the live round in the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And this information will play a key role in any decision to bring possible criminal charges in the case.
And no one's going to admit to that openly.
So they're really looking into this. I think it being, you know, Hollywood film, like there's increased attention on this.
Well, and the fact is somebody did and somebody's not owning up to it, which is the scummy part. Like somebody did that and isn't taking accountability.
Yeah. Somebody may have been like, hey, let's go shoot some cans on our coffee break.
Yeah.
Here's a gun. Let's use this gun. Oh, here's 500 rounds of ammunition. Let's just grab some of this.
Well, and like, just to put this in a different context. So you and I are counselors. If we had a client come into the building who said, you know, I keep my gun on me for safety, like, and I'm not going to not come in with my gun. And we said, okay, fine. And then something happened to one of our clinicians, we would feel very responsible. No,
that's on us.
That's on us for allowing that to happen. Yeah. Yes, it is ultimately the person who shot that's responsible. However, I would not shake that responsibility.
No, if anything happened to one of my staff, I would be responsible because they're my responsibility at the end of the day.
And that's what I think is kind of the missing piece is, okay, if somebody found a gun on their lunch break and they casually go shooting, and that's the thing that's been done, is that the person at fault, or is it supposed to be the gatekeeper who is supposed to keep that out? And to me, the gatekeeper holds more responsibility.
Who's providing the overarching supervision, making sure protocols are being followed? Yeah. Like, why are guns that are being used in filming containing live rounds ever?
Is my question. I mean, and is that the producer? Is that, I mean, what level is involved?
See, I don't know. I don't. And I've if never it was, been on a film.
What's the slapstick? No,
they have
what's
not invited me to star in a film yet. So slapdash.
In a slapdash production, they may not have somebody doing that. So they may just be, here's what we got. You go shoot. Not, you know, the picture. Mm-hmm.
And this veteran prop master turned down the job because it seemed too risky. And so they bring in, less than 2 weeks before the start of filming, this 24-year-old inexperienced person.
Which is always my concern. Why are you bringing in more experienced people for more dangerous jobs?
Less experienced, yeah.
What did I say? Sorry.
More experienced.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I don't think all the blame goes on this
young person
either. I think we have to step back and everybody shoulder the blame.
Hired her to save money. And so they didn't have to put in the layers and that would have made.
Supervisor,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. To put the layers of protection that would have made the others, like, person feel good about the job. Instead of doing that, they said, okay, we'll hire someone cheaper.
Yeah, it's a shared shoulder of this horrible responsibility. What is a prop gun? I wondered.
I would assume fake.
I would have assumed fake too, but that's not the case. This was a real gun.
Yeah.
And so prop guns can be real or they can be fake. In this case, it was real.
Even if it was real, I would view it as, but there's no, like, the barrels are lodged or, you know, something. I don't know, stick a like a stick a pencil in the barrel. I don't know, like something where it, take the firing pin out. I've cleaned my gun many times. Take the firing pin out and then it doesn't actually click. Like do something like that where it is inoperable.
So real guns are used so they can fire blanks. And in my mind, I've heard this word blanks my whole life and I've never really understood what that is. But now I know. A blank is almost the exact same thing
as a bullet.
As a bullet, but without the tip.
Yeah.
So the tip, so I learned the tip is actually what is the bullet.
It's the projectile piece.
Yeah. But there's like the whole thing. So the whole thing is the mm-hmm. same.
Yeah.
A blank just doesn't have the very tip part.
And that's why
that fires out.
So often, yeah, when you fire the blank, it's supposed to explode basically very quickly. That's what the noise is. But then when sometimes people die from being shot with a blank, and that's because the actual rest of the bullet hits them still and kills them.
In fact, in 1984, actor John Eric Hexum was joking around on the set of a TV show because he was like bored and there was delays in filming. And so he put the revolver that was loaded with a blank to his head, spun the chamber and fired.
Russian roulette-ed himself.
So he wasn't killed by a projectile because it was a blank, mm-hmm. but the force of the explosion
still
of the gunpowder powder actually pushed a piece of his skull into his brain and killed him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awful.
So blanks are not.
No, it's not like, just.
Think blanks are child.
It's not like one of those toy guns where it's like a little popper. Or it just makes a noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's dangerous.
Yeah. And so like, why do they use real guns? So I looked into this.
Weight.
Yeah. The weight is a big thing. The appearance. But the real big thing they're looking for is that recoil. Like they want that recoil action for the actors. And I'm like, can't you fucking act and act a recoil?
And isn't it, I mean, most actors don't shoot guns on the regular, like a cowboy does. So isn't their reaction to a recoil going to be unrealistic for the time? Aren't they going to be more adjusted to recoil for someone who uses it more often?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can't you just CGI that shit in?
Well, and nowadays with like 3D printing, you can make something that's pretty dang realistic and have the weight. And yes, use acting. And we know it's not for the sound. They do all the sound shit afterwards anyways in separate overlays. So
that was one of the reasons I read for using a real gun with blanks. They want the sound. They want the weight. They want that fire that comes out of the muzzle. And they want that recoil.
Most sound they have to replicate anyways externally. Like they play the video and they say, oh, we have a gunshot here. Let's plug in the sound for a gunshot because you can't pick up everything clearly on mics when that happens. So I call bullshit.
Another reason they like to use real bullets on set. So it's like, why would there be a live mm-hmm, round? Mm-hmm. You know, scenes where the gun is like right pointing at the camera.
Yeah.
That's like
you can see
their excuse for doing that. But there should never be like people behind the camera in those cases, or they should be behind some bulletproof glass.
Yeah, that should be a photo shoot portion.
And nobody else should be on set. Like that should be like sets cleared, live gun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bulletproof glass. Like there should be such
precautions. Everybody should know what's happening.
Informed
consent.
Yes, and nobody needs to be around.
Yeah, and I think that's huge for I think everybody on set is that they all should have been well informed that there was guns on the set that had bullets in them, and then people can make their own decision. The actor could be like, "I don't feel okay with that. Some of these guns may have been used for shooting."
Yeah. Exactly. So Craig Zobel, who is an actor and director, whose credits include Westworld, just tweeted after the incident, there's no reason to have guns loaded with blanks or anything on set anymore. Should just be fully outlawed.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough technology. There's no excuse.
And then TV writer David Slack tweeted, prop guns are guns. blanks have real gunpowder in them. Mm-hmm. They can injure or kill, and they have. If you're ever on set where prop guns are treated without proper caution and safe handling, walk away. No show or shot is worth risking people's lives.
No.
So I need to talk about Brandon Lee.
Okay.
Do you know who he that is?
Is that
that's him
from
The Crow?
Yeah, I was gonna say The Crow. Yeah.
Have you seen The Crow?
Yeah, it was one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Mm-hmm.
It's a cult classic.
It is a cult classic. Yes. So while filming The Crow, Brandon Lee tragically, sadly, shockingly, he's the son of the legend Bruce Lee, died in 1993 after a prop gun accident. So he was shot in the abdomen and he died from the injury. So while filming the movie The Crow, there was a scene where Brandon Lee was supposed to get shot at while walking through the door carrying a bag of groceries. Mm-hmm. And Michael Massey, the actor doing the shooting, he was devastated by this death. Mm-hmm. And this haunted him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I saw some interviews with him, you know, where he talked about how it just found years for him to find a way to move forward with his life. And so the gun was supposed to be loaded with blanks, and what happened is they had been using this gun to have those close-up shots where you see like a real
the bullet in there. Yeah.
But instead of using a dummy bullet like they should have.
Or a completely different gun.
Yeah, which that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, see, that would be like very sensible.
Yeah.
So they like glued some shit together.
Okay.
Like some real gun projectile parts, like bullet parts. Uh-huh. And they like glued this thing together and put it in. And then when it was time to have it filled with blanks for this shot, the gun wasn't cleaned thoroughly. And so there ended up being bits of a .44 caliber bullet in there. And so when the gun fired, it actually sprayed these fragmented bits into Brandon Lee.
This is very similar to the logging. Like anything small going at a fast speed is deadly. Anything.
Yeah. And they said that having it a fragmented .44 caliber bullet was actually more devastating than an actual, because they couldn't find it in surgery.
I was about to say, because it's so small and it's jagged versus being smooth, so it's going to cause more laceration, more bleeding.
They didn't find it until the autopsy, and it was lodged in his spine. The bit. Yeah. So
that's so totally fucked horrifying. Up. Well, and like actors don't sign up for that. They don't sign up for they have somebody that jumps off of things for them. Like, no, I don't. If there's any risk that there could be a bullet in there, I don't want to do this job, clearly. So the fact that I'm sure they're told over and over again that their safety's insured, it's fine.
Yeah. I just remember being so sad about it when he was killed, because I was so like hopeful and excited about his career, because I mean, I fucking love Bruce Lee. Like Bruce Lee is the greatest of all time. And here's like a chance for that legacy to continue. I mean, Bruce Lee died before his time and then Brandon Lee dying before his time. It just seems so sad and pointless and like
very pointless, as is this case with, I mean, the 24.
She was 32.
Oh, I thought you said 24.
24 was the armor.
Oh, I see.
But still young and just starting out.
I'm a year older than that.
Yeah, so still very young.
It's young.
I did learn that Brandon Lee and Bruce Lee are both buried in Seattle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so I totally want to go visit their graves next time I'm over there. It just seems like a pointless death. Yeah. Avoidable. Like there was no reason.
Well, and then you make somebody in some, I don't even know how to explain that. Like, you are putting a burden of guilt onto somebody who had no intention. So that person who pulled the trigger.
Yeah, I'm now, sure Alex Baldwin is fucking devastated.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way around it. You killed somebody, whether you wanted to or not.
Yep. And I just don't think anybody is completely ready for culpable that. No. On this. I think there's just lots of responsibility to be spread around.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, like, I hope somebody gets in trouble for this, honestly. I mean, obviously, some sort of policies need to change.
Just maybe that tragedy that starts some different rules.
It's unfortunate.
Like, no live rounds on set. Like, yeah, that needs to be the rule.
Figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. If you need that shot where you have like the bullet coming out of the gun right into the camera, like, do that somewhere else.
You have to have a cleared set. Everybody has to be informed. Like, that makes sense. Like,
nobody's there.
It makes sense.
At all. It's like a totally separate gun.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, let's paint it on the bottom pink or something.
On this day at this time, this is what's happening.
Yeah. You don't use the same fucking gun.
No.
That you're using in filming and rehearsals.
And the thing is,
it's
so common sense, except, I mean, the only thing I can think of is when you're in that industry and you do it all the time, you get lazy. That's my only thought.
Well, I mean, I'm so terrified of guns. I would never point a gun at somebody. And that's what happened in this rehearsal. Alec Baldwin was pulling that gun and pointing it
at
people,
like someone who doesn't handle guns.
Like, several people were there who's pointing it at.
But most people I know who handle guns frequently, they're the first ones to be like, don't point that at some, put it down, like, aim away from people. Yeah. They're very conscious about what's going on. So it's very dangerous, just the fact that they're giving a gun to someone who has no training with a gun whatsoever on standard safety, where something could go wrong.
Yeah. And even though I grew up like very like anti-guns and all that, I knew that raising my children here, they were going to be around guns. So I made the decision that I would rather have them be familiar with guns, so they knew safety protocols, and they weren't going to be that kid at the fucking slumber party that picks up a gun and aims at somebody. Yeah,
shoots himself.
So both of my guns are both of my kids are very familiar with guns. They're very safe. Mm-hmm. They shoot all the time down at the farm with their dad. Like, even though that scares me, I think that's the better path, living in this culture that we live in here.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, buying the gun for the purpose that you're using it for, because like my dad's gun, I forget which one it is, but it actually has like three different safety buttons. Like, you do this, that way you don't forget to put the safety on. And like, there's a three check measure. And if you're going to have kids in the house, like, you should be making sure there's multiple layers of coverage. If you're going to be shooting a movie with guns in it and you're going to have live rounds on the set, there should be multiple layers
checks.
Of safety.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I totally agree.
And you know, this isn't about anti-gun. Like, this is like, people,
it's about safety.
Again, most people who avidly shoot guns or have guns are some of the safest people with guns I've ever met. It's the people that don't use guns, don't know the safety measures, or who get lazy and complacent. Like, that's what I've seen.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Ugh, it's terrible.
It's sad, very sad.
But I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I know enough to have an opinion.
Yeah, I don't think because I'm like The Crow, I was a little after The Crow, but definitely enjoyed it, but not enough to be like, to know really what happened when I watched it, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's very sad. And now I'm very curious what's going to happen to the movie Rust. Are they going to,
continue?
Are they
going to
continue?
I was wondering that.
We'll see if it's Alec Baldwin, right? Mm-hmm. We'll see if he even is willing to do it.
I mean, it's shut down now, but who knows if it's going to continue or not. There are myths out there that in The Crow film, the actual death scene is included. And
I remember
in my research,
kind of like
that's not true.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz thing. Like, there's the suicide in the background, but that's has been debunked.
Yeah, that I read that's not true. But I think I thought that for a while too.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's catchy.
It's catchy.
It's catchy. Well, that's, yeah, I'm not excited. I'm interested to see how this goes, because I think it'll have implications across the board because of how much attention it's getting.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if there are charges and who gets charged.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, from a legal standpoint, it's a kind of new territory, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I haven't heard of anything similar recently, at least. Mm-mm. So
yeah. I mean, nobody's ever charged in the death of Brandon Lee.
Mm-hmm. Well, and back then too, I think it was so much easier to say it's an accident and not have much responsibility attached to
right,
that.
Right. Even though I think there was some culpability.
I'm
in that.
Sure there was.
Yeah. You, like, clean the fucking gun out before you use it in mm-hmm. a scene is yeah. probably
a good idea.
Mm-hmm. A good idea. Yeah.
Whew, goodness. Well, is that it?
Yeah. That's it.
I'm just going to add I watched the Britney Spears,
oh, what's the latest
movie? The Netflix show. Oh, you watched it. I watched it.
Is that good?
It was actually pretty eye-opening to just how hushed she was during a lot of those periods and how miserable she was. Like, oh. Literally hiding in bathrooms to try to get messages out to people about her condition.
That's so sad.
And like, it goes beyond just like, oh, you know, the bad conservator. It's like she had very powerful people controlling what she did, and her only outlet that she enjoyed was music and dancing. So she would do those things, but everything was, because I mean, she was just kind of a puppet along the way. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Do you think she'll perform again?
I think so. Like, honestly, throughout the whole thing, she just echoed that she loved doing it for the fans. And they showed a couple of her live performances when she was in Vegas, which was a forced contract by her dad. And it was like the truest moments with her is when she's on stage with the microphone with her fans. And they showed a couple like clips of her talking to her fans, and she'd make statements like, about feeling trapped and like kind of offhand, like humorous, like
it was her moment to be able to speak.
Yeah, like I can say something here and not get in trouble for it kind of moment.
That's so sad.
Yeah, so that was a really interesting documentary. I mean, very pieced together by outside sources, and that was right before the conservatorship actually ended, so there was still kind of that piece there. But it was,
she's
interesting.
An amazing performer.
Yeah, yeah. So
she's got some good songs.
I think she will perform again, but I think she's going to definitely, she's pursuing legal action for sure. She's not going to let it drop, which I think now's the time.
That'll
really
make her feel empowered. Like, she has some control over her life.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had to throw in my random Britney, because like, I never was fully into it. But I have not been able to like drop the topic, but I also don't want to do a whole topic on something that was fairly.
No, the updates work. Yeah, throw in a fine. Random Britney.
I don't know. Britney, go Britney, I guess. Well, I didn't realize too, like, the impact of her divorce, like how much that played a big role in all of that whole like breakdown period
with,
had
like,
to do with a
with
really
K-Fed?
Mm-hmm, had a really bad role to play with a lot of those things. And she admitted, she's like, yep, I mentally was not well because I got a divorce and had parental rights being taken away from me. Like, yeah, I wasn't okay, but I got better, and that's okay to get better.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, people don't stay broken. It's okay.
We ascribe to the recovery model.
Yes, we're like folded bits of paper. We get folds.
Like origami.
And it's okay to have your crease still.
I've been folded into a jumping frog.
Have you?
So I'm folded, but functional and fun.
Ooh, like a box. Sometimes you put things. But it doesn't hold water. So it's not very functional. Oh, we just need to stop talking. All right.
Yeah, sorry. We don't see each other enough.
I know,
so.
It's been a long time. All right. Until next time, and more chocolates. Stay out of the cottonwoods.
Until next time, treat every gun like it's loaded. And that means don't aim it at people.
Check it.
Pre-wreck it.